Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, this week on the Beacon Broadcast, we have broken into our study in 1 Peter for the purpose of talking about church growth, God's way, from Ephesians chapter 4. And we have now delivered three studies in that section on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we're ready for the fourth one on this Thursday, February 20. Thank you for joining us. So far, we have examined the necessary attitude for God-honoring, God-empowered church growth, and that, namely, is unity among the people of God. Unity within the body. A church that grows by God's blessing and God's power is a church that is unified in the body of Christ, in the local body of Christ, and as verses 1 through 6 tell us, that unity comes about by a common commitment to basic doctrine. Doctrine, far from dividing, unites. Doctrine properly taught, properly understood, properly embraced by the people of God, unites Christians together around the Word of God, and that creates a powerful unity, not a superficial one, not an artificial one, not an emotional one, but a solid one, a genuine one, a doctrinal unity that can only be brought about by the proper teaching of God's Word. But there's also, in addition to this needed attitude, namely one of unity, there also needs to be a proper understanding, which is the understanding of the giftedness of Christ's body. We talked about that on the broadcast yesterday, the gifts which Christ has given to his church and the purpose for which they were bestowed. And without repeating that, I just simply say that biblical church growth depends upon the active participation of every member of the body. Now, again, how different that is. We do have church growth today that probably would appeal to all people getting involved, but basically doesn't depend upon it because it depends upon charismatic leaders and exciting programs and faddish entertainment, and that's going to pull people in. And it will, but that's not biblical church growth. That's not Holy Spirit-generated church growth. That's not God-honoring church growth. God-honoring church growth depends upon the operation of every member of the body exercising his gifts for the glory of God. And when that's in place, then we have to understand the process of biblical church growth, and that begins in verse 11. And it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And it goes on from there. Now, biblical church growth, therefore, begins with gifted church leaders. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Leadership gifts, preaching gifts, Christ's gracious bestowment to the church, Christ's love gift to his church. He gave four categories of church leadership. Number one, apostles. Number two, prophets. Number three, evangelists. And number four, pastor teachers. The apostles, we have already been told in Ephesians 2:20, were part of the foundation of the church along with the prophets. We read in verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." It should be self-evident, therefore, that apostles and prophets are no longer in operation because the foundation was laid a long time ago. It was laid during the apostolic era. Christ gave to his church apostles and prophets at the beginning to lay the foundation. And what did those apostles and prophets do? Well, a lot of things, but probably the most important thing they did was deliver the New Testament scriptures. Apostles and prophets were prophets. Both apostles were prophets, and prophets were prophets, though prophets were not necessarily apostles. But both of them received divine revelation and wrote it down in what we call the New Testament scriptures. And in that way, they laid the foundation for the church, upon which now evangelists and pastor teachers can continue to build, now not by receiving direct revelation from God in heaven or Christ in heaven, but rather by teaching and preaching the revelation that has now been given, namely the Bible, the scriptures. The Hebrew scriptures given a long time ago, but now for the church to grow, there has to be New Covenant revelation, New Covenant scriptures, which was proclaimed orally in the era of the apostles and the prophets, but needed to be written down so that it could be repeated generation after generation, century after century, by evangelists and pastor teachers. So in this way, the truth that enables the church to grow was first given in the era of the apostles and prophets, and then upon that foundation continues to grow over the centuries until Christ returns. I probably am not going to take the time to do this because my time is brief. I've limited myself to 1 week to cover the subject. But I want you to understand that evangelists are what we call today missionaries. So there are no more apostles. They're gone. There are no more prophets. They were very active in the first century. You can read about them in several places. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Thessalonians 5, for example. There were evangelists in the first century. Philip was an evangelist. Timothy was an evangelist. Evangelists were missionaries that basically replaced the apostles when the apostles passed off the scene. They were itinerant. They were the first missionaries. Paul was an apostle. Paul was a missionary. But apostles were not given in perpetuity. They were given strictly in the foundation stage. But this work of itinerating and evangelizing and planting churches must go on. And evangelists are given that job. Timothy was given that job. Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Why? Because he was an evangelist. Some Christians have missed the point of that admonition. As if Paul was saying, Timothy, you're primarily a pastor, but along the way, don't forget to evangelize. Along with doing the work of a pastor, also do the work of an evangelist. Well, it's actually the other way around. Timothy was an evangelist, but part of the work of the evangelist was to temporarily fill the office of pastor in churches until they were established and their own settled pastors could carry on the responsibility. Pastors, pastor teachers, as they're called here, are a settled ministry, a settled office, people who stay with the church, but evangelists, missionaries, keep moving on. They have a special assignment and a special giftedness in order to evangelize and plant churches and train people and get churches established and then move on and turn that work over to somebody else and do the same thing again. We're talking about the process of biblical church growth, and this is how it's carried out. And these leaders that Christ has given to the church are to give themselves to their unique calling, and they should be valued, encouraged, and supported in their work by the members of the church. And we need to understand that preaching gifts are paramount in the work of the growing of the church, because they minister the word, which is necessary for spiritual life to be generated in evangelism and maintained in the church, in a healthy church. A healthy church is continually feeding upon the word of God that is taught to it by pastors and teachers, and thus it is being strengthened, it is being unified around the word of God, around doctrine, and in this way equipped to do the work of the ministry and to grow. And you see, the process of biblical church growth, according to this section, begins with gifted church leaders, verse 11, but extends to equipped believers, verse 12. Verse 11 again, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for, what do these leaders of the church, preachers of the church, what are they operating for? What's their purpose? For, verse 12, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. There it is. Gifted teachers equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. They equip the saints. The Greek word means the outfitting of a ship, or the setting of a bone, or the furnishing of a house. This word, katartizo, is used in Matthew 4:21 of the mending of nets, in Galatians 6:1 of restoring a fallen brother. We could say mending a fallen brother. And here in Ephesians 4:12 of equipping, preparing, or restoring to usefulness, or outfitting the saints. This is a combination of knowledge and encouragement that is ministered by the spiritual leaders, the preachers, the ones who have the gift of the public teaching of God's word, to help believers to understand how to use their gifts. And as they do, as they mature and learn how to exercise their own particular giftedness, what happens? Well, it's the saints who do the work of the ministry and who bring about the growth of the church. Again, verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Gifted teachers equip the saints. Gifted saints do the work of the ministry, and the result is the building up of Christ's body. That's God's plan for church growth. That's what we need to be focusing on. That's what church growth seminars ought to be teaching. That's what pastors ought to be learning when they go to church growth seminars to learn the principles of church growth. This is what pastors need to understand. This is what church members need to understand. And understanding it, need to put it into practice and therefore become an obedient vehicle for God the Holy Spirit to accomplish His work. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.